Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Pastor John Manarain. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me once again to share the word tonight. And it's a blessing. It's an honor, first to God and to His people. So did you bring your Bible today? Tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn our Bible to the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've entitled this Bible study tonight, "We Are a Living Sacrifice for God." Amen? Amen. We are a living sacrifice for God.
Yes.
Amen. But before we continue, let me open up in a word of prayer. Just thank the Lord for tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We exalt your holy name. You are worthy of our praise, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There is no one like our God.
Yes.
There is no one like Jehovah. Worthy forever. Worthy. Sing it with me. There is no one like our God. There is no one like Jehovah. Worthy forever. Worthy.
Yes, God.
Yes, Lord, you are worthy. There is no one like you, O Jehovah God. We worship you.
Thank you, God.
We exalt you, O God. Forever will be that you are exalted. And Lord, that we will declare that you are worthy, O God. Father, this evening I pray, O God, that you would speak to us, Lord.
Yes, God.
Speak to us, Father. I pray that you would open and enlighten us. Open our spiritual ears and our hearts before you, O God.
Yes,
to receive from you, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, O God.
Jesus.
That we will not come out of this place unblessed, but Lord, but touched by your presence, by your hand, Lord.
Yes.
And that we will see Jesus this evening. We will see and experience Jesus, Lord.
Yes.
So, Father, we thank you. We bless you for every blessing, O God, that you have bestowed upon us, O God.
Yes, God.
Thank you for saving us. Thank you for redeeming us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that we are called children of God,
Jesus.
Lord. And here we are, O God, anticipating, and Lord God, with enthusiasm and excited, O God, to hear from you, O God. Father, I pray that you will fill the hearts of your people, O God, this evening, O God, as we listen to your word, as we read and study your word this evening. God, we thank you and we glorify your name. Holy Spirit, lead us this evening, O Lord. You are our Bible teacher, O God. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, all the glory belongs to you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? To tell you the truth, I'm very nervous right now. Praise God. I've been in the pulpit, in the stage for a long time, but there's still the stage fright. I think it's because, you know, this morning I was doing a jury duty and I was called at the Elkhorn Courthouse, but I wasn't called for the exact hearing, and they sent us home, praise God, and I went back to work. It's a good experience, and I just thank the Lord for that. So our subject for tonight is about Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I entitled it, "We Are a Living Sacrifice for God." I'm not saying that we are being sacrificed to be killed before God. No. It's as we read this, we're going to learn something from it. Okay? Amen? So let's read the verse, Romans chapter 12, if you're there, 1 and 2. It's also, I took the, I'm fond of a lot of translation. I love King James Version also. It says here, Paul was writing to the church in Rome. It says here, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Let me repeat it again. It says here, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, on New King James Version, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove in what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. So this verse, we could learn a lot of things from this verse. First and foremost, a little background about the book of Romans. It was written by Paul, the apostle, to the Roman church, or to Rome, to the church in Rome. He wrote it in Corinth in AD 57. It means after Christ, Anno Domini 57. And he wrote it to the believers or converts over in Rome. If you're going to read the whole book of Rome, there's a lot of things went on and topics and things that Paul wrote there regarding the church over there. And it's basically, Paul was basically sharing or writing to, do you know what believers are there in Romans, in Rome? It's the Gentiles, right? Because Paul was called to the Gentiles. But there are also some Jews over there. So there's different teachings and there's even partly idolatry and the culture. You know, the Christians are being, you know, mixed with the culture. That's why Paul has to clarify that, you know, they are saved and they are redeemed through the Lord Jesus Christ. They have been born again just like us. And so this verse tonight it applies to all of us, amen. Even at present time right now. Paul was saying here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's where I get my title. You know, Paul was saying here that to beseech means to implore, to plead, okay? To appeal. So Paul was saying, hey, come on, church, come on, Christians. Now that you are saved, now that you are born again, you have been set free from the world, set free from sin. I'm pleading to you right now. It says here, it's an urgent and fervently to do something urgent. Paul was saying that to the Christians in Rome, that they need to what? They need to, by the mercies of God, need to present their bodies a living sacrifice. Man, what does Paul mean when he said that? You need to present your bodies as living sacrifice to God. Amen? Our bodies. And Paul was saying that we need to, or he was saying that the Christians there need to realize that the old way is gone already. Okay? The old ways, now that they're born again, they are living in new creation. Okay? I'm debating on my topic, but it says here, I wrote here, it says here that I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies. Why do you think Paul says by the mercies of God? He said by the mercies of God because an unregenerated heart cannot do this. So basically, this verse right here is for Christians. Right? For Christians. It's also for them, if an unbeliever will hear it, it can also apply, but mainly for the family of God. Not that you are born again, you are saved by grace, and you have believed by faith. Paul was saying that you have to offer up yourself as living sacrifice to God. And nobody, you know, an unregenerated heart, or somebody who doesn't know the Lord would not do this. They probably would come to the church one time, but never come back, right? And do you know the reason why the churches are not being filled? This is one reason. Because this is, you know, we could extract, you know, there's a lot of points, not only points, but I would say gems and eternal or gold that we can get from this verses, spiritually speaking. The reason why some churches, and you know, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts the hearts, but it's a day-to-day gradual offering up ourselves as living sacrifice to God. Amen? Amen. And I wrote here, there are points to learn from these verses. Number one, God wants us to offer our bodies daily, a living sacrifice to Him. It's not only one time. We don't, you know, stop from one experience, right? One Sunday we could be filled, you know, and be blessed, and we're singing hallelujah and praises. The next Sunday we're not in church. So it's a day-to-day, you know, offering up ourselves to God. Amen? And it's not only about church. I'm talking about to our families. I'm talking to in our work. I'm talking wherever you are. You could present yourself to God. Amen? The problem sometimes, I'm guilty of this. Leave God behind. You know, I can do this alone, Lord. And sometimes I miss the blessing when I do that. You know, first thing first is a practical ways. You know, when we wake up in the morning, sometimes I go shower right away. Don't even, you know, because sometimes time constraint, and you know, I'll be late at work. But just a word of prayer, Lord, when you get up, Lord, thank you for I'm still breathing. Lord, thank you for I'm still alive. Lord, I present my body to you. And by the way, we cannot do this without the mercies of God, without the grace of God. Amen. God has given us His mercy, His grace, His love, so that we can do what He wants us to do, to offer up ourselves, our bodies, as living sacrifice. He offered up His Son. Why can't we offer ourselves? He offered up His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross. There's so many excuses, right? I have many excuses, Lord. You know, I'm tired, Lord. I have a lot of pain in my body. You know, Lord, I could not be there, Lord. I could not do what you want me to do. But we have to press in. Paul was saying here, because of apostasy and because of false teachings, you got to press in. He said to the church in Rome, now that you are children of God, you are believers and you are saved by grace, you got to press in because the enemy is there. The enemy is there to always pull you down. So first thing and foremost, even before our spouses, even before our loved ones, we have to present ourselves to God. Lord, here I am. Oh God, use me. Here I am, Lord. I present myself as living sacrifice. What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do for your glory, oh God? Lord, in the name of Jesus, help me, Lord. Help me. So Paul was saying, exhorting, you know, the church in Rome, come on, guys. Come on, you can do this. You know, you have to present yourselves as living sacrifice to God. Mm-hmm. God wants us to offer our bodies daily as living sacrifice to Him. This is our service and act of worship. In the NLT, it says reasonable service or spiritual service. So we can also derive it to worship. You know, worship doesn't mean, you know, we're just singing, you know, we're here playing the guitar and we're worshiping. Yeah, that's part of it. But our lives should be a life of worship. A life, you know, it doesn't mean we're raising our hands. We have to raise our hands at work. You know what I mean? It's like being aware of His presence. Being aware, it's just like a perfume. When you wear a perfume, it lingers, right? It should be like that, spiritually speaking. You know, when we communicate with people, believers, you know, the presence of God should linger upon us. Amen. As we communicate. This requires, I wrote it there, this requires faith, commitment, and acknowledgement of His supreme lordship. That's one key important. Lordship. The supreme lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. It requires that we acknowledge that he is Lord. Right? I would say, unless He is Lord, or either He is Lord, or we are Lords, or you are Lord of your life. He has to be the Lord. Amen. Amen. And what is that thing that is lording over you that you can give your life to the Lord? Or you can offer your bodies a sacrifice for Him? What is that thing that would hinder you and blocking you from your relationship to Jesus Christ to pursue the things that He wants you to do? Right? So, it says here, lordship is very important. In Matthew, it's not there. Let me just read it. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, it says, you must love, this is NLT, I like this one. It says, New Living Translation. It says here, Matthew 22, 37, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. We cannot only love God with all our mind. It's basic knowledge, you know, and information and education. That's not enough. We have to love the Lord with all of our hearts, right? Hearts and soul. So this body consists of soul, body, and spirit.
Yes.
Dichotomy, they call the subject dichotomy, consists of body, soul, and spirit. When we weren't saved, our spirits are dead. Amen. The body is there, and the heart, the soul is dirty.
That's right.
Right? When we got saved, in John chapter 3, it says, unless you be born of spirit and water, you cannot enter the kingdom, or you cannot see the kingdom. Our dead spirit, this is us, the Spirit of God will come when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord. It joins us and makes our spirit alive in Jesus Christ. Amen? It quickens our spirit and makes our hearts clean, our soul. So it says here, worship operates in the present tense. That's what I'm talking about when you are in a certain place, wherever you are. It's a present tense. It's not passive. It's active. When we worship, we don't only worship in church. I mean, I'm not showing you show up there, you know, you're worshiping. If you can do that, that's good. So they'll know you're a Christian. Sometimes I consider myself, I'm guilty, and I'm always asking forgiveness to God. Sometimes I feel like I'm a James Bond Christian. They don't even know I'm a Christian. Amen. Bring your Bible. Don't be ashamed. You know, Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's the power of God." What? Unto salvation, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles.
Yes, amen.
Right?
Amen.
You know, the enemy is doing a lot of things in the world and in our surrounding. You know, it's a funny thing because Halloween is coming again, and they already gave the guidelines. They could wear anything, you know, or not anything. The bloody stuff, graph, you know, and also religious things, of course. And you know that the enemy is already up to that. If you dress like Moses, or if you dress like, or you put a Bible, they won't allow that. But the witches and everything, this you know, they allow it, and you know that's from the enemy. So worship, in Greek it says here, proskuneo. It says to make obeisance, do reverence to. So let me ask you, how much do we revere God? Because we can say it through words, by words only, and not by action.
That's right.
We can say we believe God, and we don't actually do the things of God, and we don't pray, we don't, you know, read the Word. I'm guilty of that. I'm not picking anyone here. Sometimes it's so easy to watch a 2-hour movie. By the way, I love action movies. I don't want drama. No, I'm just kidding. But to read the Word, 5 minutes, I'm already asleep. I fall asleep. But when I'm watching TV, you know, show, whatever, my eyes are so, you know. That's the trick of the enemy, right? That's the trick of the enemy. You know? He fanned us when we read the Word. That's why we need to press in. We need to, just like Pastor Fee, you know, he studied the Word and prepare the Word, just like, you know, when you're preparing a meal, you have to cut the vegetables, you gotta, you know, same thing with the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, we're going to read it later on. It says, study to show thyself approved. A workman need not to be ashamed. Man, I don't want to shame before the presence of God, or I don't want to be ashamed with people that has false teachings, putting it on my face, and I could not, you know, rebuttal them, or I could not answer, just like the Jehovah's Witness. They dishonor the deity of God, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be approved, right? We have to study. We're going to read that later on. Proskuneo means to obeisance, to do reverence. We revere God. Wherever we are, we bow down before Him. That's why don't be surprised when we worship, there will be people here kneeling down. There will be people, you know, just crying, you know. And let the Spirit of God freely move you. You know, there should be no reservation or anything. You know, sometimes that's a distraction also, that the enemy, sometimes, this is one example. Sometimes I worship, and then the enemy would just flash out something. Where did that came from, man? You know, worship. That's why we need to press in. We really need to. It's just like in a swimming pool. You just don't soak your feet there and sit down on the side. You gotta dive in, man. You gotta dive in. You gotta dive in the presence of the Lord. Amen.
Right.
In the presence of the Lord, it gives you strength. It gives you power. It gives you and you know, if you remember, there's a lady when Jesus was ministering. I think it's in the book of Mark or Luke, in one of the gospel. He visited one of the houses of the Pharisee, and he reclined, you know, as a guest. And there's this one lady. They said she's a sinner, and he broke an alabaster jar, and there's a perfume there, you know. First he wept on Jesus' feet, and then he wiped the tears with her hair, and then he poured the alabaster. Boy, the perfume, the smell lingered, and somebody even complained. I think it was Judas. Why is she wasting that perfume and just sell it and give it to the poor? And Jesus said, you always have the poor, but you won't have me all the time, always. I'm just paraphrasing. It's an obeisance. It's a reverence. And Jesus even said that she's preparing it for my burial. So what can we prepare for the Lord? What can we prepare as living sacrifice? We can prepare for His coming, amen?
That's right.
We can prepare for His coming. We you know, Pastor Fee, we were talking last night. Man, the things that are happening in our world today is getting worse. That's why we need to be prepared, even put our families or our house in order, amen? Because
right.
His coming is getting sooner. Pros means, on the word proskuneo, it means towards. It's always vertical to God, amen? When we worship God, it's vertical. We worship Him. Lord, we ascribe Him. But horizontal, we praise. We share the blessings. We share God, amen? Toward, vertical is our worship, towards, and kuneo to kiss. Just like that lady. Just like that woman. And by the way, her sin were forgiven.
That's right.
Just by doing that. He didn't even say a word, but he wept. She wept on Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Because he broke before the Lord and with a sincere heart. He was weeping on Jesus' feet. Number two, it says here, God commanded us to live a holy life. You know, we don't only offer our bodies as living sacrifice, but God wants us to be holy. In 1 Peter 1, verse 13 to 16, it's up there. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, in here it's already talking that be prepared, be sober, Gird up the loins of your mind. He says, get ready, because our hope is coming. It says here, the rest, your hope fully upon the grace that is be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is about to be revealed, church. He's about to be revealed. We know, yes, we have obtained these blessings, spiritual blessings. We have obtained salvation and all these things. But it's also to be revealed one day. So we need to be prepared, amen? And it says here, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves again to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy. Who is holy? Jesus. It's God, right? You also be holy in all your what? In all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Amen?
That's right.
Even when somebody lift up a finger on you on the freeway, whatever, you know, even you know, say blibbity, blibbity, as Pastor said, you know, God bless you. Sometimes it's hard, right?
That's right.
It's hard because the enemy would provoke us. The enemy would do something to make us stumble and make us feel bad. I was already in check when I was a first, well, I don't know nothing, you know, because I was a new believer and I say something, you know, and I got checked. Because when I first got saved, my family are very angry because we're solid Catholic, Roman Catholic. And especially my parents would say, how come you changed your religion? Mom, I didn't change my religion. I have a personal relationship. I'm still a Catholic, okay? Universal Catholic. There's a universal Catholic church. But, and then they're getting upset and mad. And I said, what would you want me to do? And I was bringing my Bible out of my frustration. I did this on the table. And because I was saying, when I was in the world, you know, you're mad, you know, and I'm doing drugs and drinking and all this stuff, you know, all the vices, you know, smoking marijuana, you know, having pot, you know, and you're mad. Now I'm reading the Bible, you're still mad. And I do this to the table. Mom, what would you want me to do? Where will I be at, you know? And then from that on, they, you know, and they have seen the change. They've seen the fruit, you know, and, you know, I abandoned my old, you know, the friends that's pulling me, you know, to do those vices again. And I said, no, I'm a new man now. I'm born again.
That's right.
Yeah. And one thing that would separate man from God is what? S-I-N? Sin, right? Separates man from God spiritually. An offense against God. Man, that convicted me that, you know, even through small things, you know, even through sometimes I miss devotion, I miss prayer, or I'm not saying this is sin or anything, it's just the things we know, because the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is the one checking us, right? And convicting our hearts. It says here, hamartano in Hebrew means to miss the mark. You corrected that, right, Pastor? I missed one letter there. It says, yeah, thank you, Pastor. Hamartano. Hamartano. These are Hebrew words. Why do we look on the Hebrew or Greek? They're closer meaning. You know, the close. And if you remember, the Old Testament is written in what? In Hebrew. And New Testament is written in Greek.
Yes.
Aramaic, the Septuagint. So they're closer meaning. We could also look on the Webster Dictionary, but this is much closer. So when we do our outline, I do my outline. Sometimes I check it on the Hebrew and Greek, which has a closer meaning. Hamartano in Hebrew means to miss the mark. We always miss the mark, like in darts.
Yes.
Sometimes we miss the bullseye, or sometimes I don't even hit the round thing. It's on the, I hit the wall. Man, that's terrible. But yeah, that's like sin. You know, we miss the mark. We miss, especially when our busy lives, right? before Christ, when we're not saved yet and born again. But now we're aware, and then we come back. We come back, yeah, I'm going to try it again. And then I'll bullseye it. So in Hebrew, it also means to miss the mark, to err, right? To err means to have mistake or error, you know, you because you don't know. But the hard part, the bad part is when you know, now that you are saved, and you keep on doing it, man, that's dangerous.
That's right.
That's dangerous. If you have that state, you know, or case, we need to repent and ask God for forgiveness. 1 John 1, 9 says, He is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's also in Hebrew, shaga means to astray. In Isaiah 53, 6, we have all gone astray and went our own way, right? We forgot about God, we forgot about the Lord. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Man, isn't God so good?
Yes, he is.
He put all our iniquity on him. Even when we turn our backs to him, we went astray. You know, we are like sheep. Sheep are like dumb. You know, they go everywhere, places, you know. Yeah, it's true.
That's right. Amen.
That's true.
We're all sheep.
Yeah, we're all like sheep. How many times I stumble, you know, and but the good thing is we need to stand up. We need to stand up and go on.
That's right.
I tell you, we're like on a race. Apostle Paul wrote that in Philippians, that we're on a race. We have to finish the line, right? You could just help somebody, but, you know, don't be pulled down.
That's right.
Don't be pulled down. Go on and reach to the finish line until Jesus comes. And we could not always represent anybody. On the time comes, and the judgment seat of Christ, hopefully not on the great white throne judgment, because white throne judgment is for the wicked, the judgment of the wicked. That we could not, hey Lord, I'm, you know, in behalf of my wife, I'm here. You know, she's righteous, you know, come on, you know, allow him to enter. No. We have, we're accountable for ourselves.
That's right.
When time comes.
That's right.
Right? I've also wrote there, sanctification in Greek, hagiasmos, means to make holy, consecrate, to separate from the world and to be set apart from sin so that we may have intimate fellowship with God and serve him gladly.
Amen.
What do you mean by sanctification? It says here to consecrate. Are we going to go out there, wear a veil and do like this, you know. So people would, that's what the Pharisees doing. Pharisees in the Old Testament, showing off that they're holy and they're fasting. Sanctification means is to be separate from what? From the ways of the world, from sin. Like what? You know, one time, there's a brother, you know, in Mira Mesa, I was attending one of the church. He testified, oh, I won the lottery. Okay. And the pastor and I were looking. I mean, if you would ask me, you know, my stand on that is between you and God. But my stand is, because that's covetousness sometimes, you know, when you want that money, you know, you I know I'm some of you probably are doing lottery, but my stand is no for me, just for me again, my family, because you know you're being selfish. You know you want an instant money, and God can bless you, right? God can bless you. So that brother testified and said, "I want this money." Okay, you know, so we could not prevent him from testifying that. So praise the Lord, you know, blessing. And me and the pastor, senior pastor, were kind of waiting for him to say, okay, I'm donating this part of the money. He never donated. No, but, you know. Also in the book of Psalms, it says that God will use the money of the wicked, the wealth of the wicked. So in that we believe, but us, you know, playing, you know, and so anyway, sanctification is being separated from the things of the world. If you know, there's a bunch of group party, you know, drinking spree, and you know, you could probably hang around a little bit, but don't stay, you know, and until they tempt you to, here, take it, right? If you know there's danger, would you come? If you know that there's a manhole in front of you, would you still go on and go that path and let you fall to that manhole? So, and here, hear the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Here, the Holy Spirit will tell you, no, son, no, my daughter, you don't have to go on that path. There's one brother again, last time, you know, was saying, oh, I'm saved now, okay. I'm going to the bar to share to share with my friends. I think that's kind of risky, bro, you know. Are you sure? Lest you be tempted and you know. And I told him, just probably pray for them. So, you know, God will touch them and share with them in another place, when they're not drunk or whatever. So number three, it says here, do not be conformed. I'm just breaking up Romans 12, 1 and 2, the first verse, or we're in the second verse now. It says here, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. I went ahead, I was talking about sanctification, that you would not have no part with the things of the world. I wrote here, it says here, Satan's power is over all the nations of the earth. That could be very frightening. It's frightening, right? We have 59 lives, lost their lives in Vegas. You know, it's frightening. When we realize he can influence men in such a way that they are not even aware that they are being influenced toward evil. His power is so extensive that he is over all the nations of the earth. Jesus calls him the ruler of this world. Right? John 14:30, he affects the people's attitudes by moving our reason's process towards satisfaction of self, of the self. He gives disinformation and stirs up our spirit. Even some Christians are being persuaded, you know, of Satan's power, Satan's, no wonder why what we see and the things that we say, it's getting worse, you know, in our surroundings, in this nation, in our society, the killings and everything, because these are the signs. And as Pastor Fee was saying, God is sending judgment to America. And what is the root of this? Why it's happening? They remove prayers in school. They remove the Ten Commandments in the courthouse. That's why it's chaotic now, you know. People don't have guidelines. People don't have moral guidelines. They have rejected God's law.
That's right.
Right? They have disobeyed God's law. And when the wrath of God comes, oh man, it's gonna be terrible. But praise God, we'll be raptured before the tribulation.
Amen.
So God won't put us there, amen? Because that's what the scripture is saying. It's very important. You know, we have to have the spirit of discernment. In one of the 9 spiritual gifts, spirit of discernment, even with the shows that we're watching, be careful in the TV, you know. Sometimes we're watching, oh, it's nothing, you know, it's but we're like conforming already, you know, on those shows that are contradicting the laws of God, the word of God. Nowadays, you could not pick a show that is really clean, you know, and traditional, and you know, I love those old, yeah, I love those shows, and now they're showing all the modern. They said millennials and the modern ways, which is a relationship between man and man and relationship between woman and woman. So don't be influenced, amen? Don't be influenced. And it's all the strategies of the enemy.
That's right.
You know, This is beyond spiritual. You know, it's the enemy's doing double time because he knows his time is getting short. Because God will lock him up in the future. So number four, it says here, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Number four is very important. We need to be transformed. What does Paul say here by the renewing of your mind? Our mind should be what? Should be renewed. Our mind should be cleansed.
Yes, right.
Every day.
Yes.
It's a day-to-day thing, you know, day-to-day basis. We need to be renewed by what? By the Word of God. Amen? That's why we need to... The verse that I... in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says here, study to shew... I like King James versions. To shew thyself. I like the thou's and, you know. But sometimes when it gets to the hard part, I go to New King James. or I go to NLT. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, it rightly dividing the word of truth means that you are I see hermeneutics, they said that you are reading in context. Okay? Don't forget that. There's things that are applicable right away, like few verses, but when you read God's word, you know, you have to check the background or what's going on, and that's why you need a study Bible. The study Bible has footnotes, things on the side, and also look at the contents of the book, just like in the book of Romans. Check and see what went on, the background of the story, because I'm telling this because there are groups and cults that will just pick a verse and they will make it into a doctrine.
That's right.
That's dangerous. We have to read the whole counsel of God, and they, out of those verses, they just form their doctrine there. And sometimes it contradicts what the Bible was is truly saying. Amen. So we need to divide, rightly dividing the word of truth. So one thing also you can do when you read verses, look at the cross reference. Compare the accounts, compare especially in the gospel, and that would help also. Help us simplify or make us understand what the word is saying. It says here, number four. Another verse here, it says Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is full, in NLT, it says here, for the word of God is full of living power. It is sharper than sharpest knife. It's good. It's sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. Man, that's a good one. In the New King James Version, it says that it's a two-edged sword. It cuts to the dividing of soul and bone and marrow. It's powerful. Why? It convicts us. You know, it cleanses us. It make us realize that we are a sinner. It make us realize that where we are, what state we are in God. You know, when I first became a Christian, they taught me to read the book of John, because when I was in BC, you know, before Christ, I attempt to read the Bible. I said, I'm going to read it from the top, from Genesis to Revelation. I was only probably a few verses from Genesis 1. I stop and don't understand, you know, and what's going on. But when I became a Christian, I read the book of John, and man, it's like, it opens and give me understanding of who I am before the Lord, and even made me repent. Amen. Especially John chapter 3. It's powerful. It goes in like a knife. It convicts. You know, that's why sometimes they said when it hurts, it's good, right? When it hurts, it cuts like a knife. When you get cut, you know, on your finger, it hurts, right? Even if it's just a small. Same thing with the word. When the word speaks to you, it hurts. It makes you break down. It makes you, you know, revere the Lord and bow down, Lord. And how many here have read Isaiah chapter 6? Prophet Isaiah had a vision on that chapter. Yeah, when he was in heaven, God showed him. And when he was in the presence of God, what did he say? Woe is me, for I have unclean, you know, unclean heart or clean tongue, you know, and he realized that he was a sinner. Yes. That's what the word means. The book of James says we're like in a glimpse of mirror, you know, we see ourselves, you know, the word cleanses. That's why unless, in John chapter 3, he's saying unless we are born of spirit and water, they said that water there is the word of God, you know, when we read God's word. So our being born again doesn't stop at one time only, you know. It goes on. It's a journey. It goes on. Just like a married couple, you know. It there's always obstacle there. There's always a quarrel there. There's always misunderstanding. But at the end, you reconcile, right? And it doesn't stop. Even for how many years you've been married, like 30, 40 years, 8 years, still until Jesus comes, amen? It's same thing with the Word. The Word continues to wash us and cleanse us, you know, from all unrighteousness, from, you know, from all sin. You know, sometimes we fall, and then when we read God's Word, we realize that we are wrong, right? And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says here, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, King James. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and when thou shalt have good success. Amen. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate. See, meditate it day only or night only? Day and night. That's right. You got to make your appointment. As you have an appointment with the doctor, you got to make an appointment to meditate. And because I could just read one sentence here and that's it. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this. Then run. No, what God wants us to do is meditate, which means we have to ponder. We have to stay. We need to be still and hear what the Spirit is saying to us through those verses. So it makes us also what? Victorious and prosperous. Good success. Is being prosperous just having all the wealth in this world? No, right? And that's what the prosperity teaches is. If you are a Christian, you should be wealthy, and they said you need to be blessed, and for them there is no suffering. What about the disciples that were in God had used in the Bible that was written that they suffered? You know, Apostle Paul and all the disciples. So we don't believe in that teaching. I don't endorse that prosperity teaching also. Because it's not right, it's unbalanced. And we're not saying that God won't bless us and give us riches in this world. He can, and God also uses rich people, right? There are Christians that are rich, but for a purpose, God has a plan, you know. And we need to be patient and just obey God and you know, it's important that we need to be aware and acknowledge Him on a day-to-day basis. And I remember, is it in 2 Timothy 2:16? all scripture are inspired, right? And are used for what? For doctrine, for refute, for it helps us in our for rebuke, for, you know, sometimes the Lord can rebuke us on His word, right?
Amen.
Amen. And we need to be aware. And lastly, on number five, I just add this on, because we cannot always blame it on number three, which is Satan, conforming to the pattern of this world. There's also one great enemy, which is what?
Ourselves.
Right? It says here, the greatest enemy of man is himself. It destroys his very, very soul and life. Mm-hmm. As God wants us to offer our bodies as sacrifice, you know, the body can also be an enemy. This flesh, ourself, right? It distracts us. It's, you know, because sometimes the self wants to gratify itself, right? Instead of doing the things of God, we want to do something else, something else, right? And just like I exemplified earlier, that instead of me sometimes reading the Word, I'm in the front of the screen, the TV, you know, and instead of the Holy Spirit convicting me to pray, I still do something else that would, you know, time is so precious, right? Time, that's what also the enemy is trying to take away from us. He wants to take away our time for the Lord. Okay? He doesn't want us to do the things. People, you know what? People, even families and loved ones, might say, how come you go on Sunday, you go on Wednesday, you go on Friday, you go all this Bible study? You're weird, man. You're like from a different planet or something. But if they only knew what God has laying, you know, before us, you know, giving us the blessings, the opportunity, the benefit of being here. And I would tell you, as Pastor Fees also said, always saying that your work is not in vain. By the way, this offering of body, it's not salvation by work, okay? Don't get me wrong. It's not salvation by work, or else it's useless. Now, I'm the one to attack the Roman Catholics because I've been there, but that's what they do. It's salvation by works. They have to do something. When you offer yourself as living sacrifice to God, when you make that first, that priority to God, everything else will be easy. Everything will be put into order.
That's right.
Amen. And this is the reason, I believe, one of the reasons why some folks don't go to church on Sundays or on the Bible studies, is because they have something else, a priority that they're doing. But if you really offer yourself to God, it wouldn't be that hard, you know, to come. It's truly hard sometimes because you work and you do some other things. But God is being pleased, amen, when we sacrifice. And this offering of body, you know, sacrifice is just the fruit. The things that we do are just the fruit of offering ourselves to God. And we come to realize and understand what's God's plan for us, amen, His perfect will. Sometimes people will say, how come I don't feel God, or I don't feel, what is the will of God for me? What is the will of God for me? There's one time that asked me that, you know what, sister, the will of God for you is you come to church. Come to church, you will realize, you will find out.
That's right.
But of course, I was just kidding. The will of God, simply as is the Word of God, is the will of God for you. You have to read the Word of God and study it. On number five, I put here Romans 8:7. The sinful mind is hostile to God. So again, sinful mind. So when we're bombarded with the things of the world, that our mind, you know, we're being fed with the things of the world, it's hard. You know, it's hard to concentrate. That's why we need to be filled with the things of God. We need to hear the word of God. You know, faith comes, in Romans also it says, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing the word of God.
Yes.
You know, and the Bible is also saying that without faith is what? It's sin, right? When we're not immune with that. That's sometimes there will be times that our hearts get hardened, and sometimes we even say, "How come, Lord?" Or when we share, "How come it seems that I don't feel God anymore? God is so far," because we don't offer up ourselves as living sacrifice for Him. We don't ask. We don't, "Lord, here I am. Lord, touch me." In Genesis 4:7, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted?" This is Cain, right? When they offered, you know, Cain and Abel. But you do not do what is right. Sin is crouching at your heart or at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Amen. You must master it. You need to leap and overcome it, you know, sin, right? And we know, we believe, even when we are not born again yet, when are busy, you know, we have conscience, right? To kill somebody is what? Wrong, right? It's a sin. We know that. And how much more now that we have the Holy Spirit? How much more? We know when we do not do what is right, sin is crouching, right? That happened to David, right? That happened to David, and you know, when he took Bathsheba as his wife and killed his husband. But anyway, on Romans 8:8, it says, "Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God." And so these are all reminders to all of us. How come, Brother John, I'm a Christian. Why are you telling me this? It's just a reminder for all of us. You know, nobody's exempt. There's no excuse. You know, if they said if the enemy is not running towards you, he's going beside you. That means you're working with him. You're doing. You're sinning. You're agreeing what he wants you to do. You know, and you're flowing. You have to, you know, face him front to front.
Right.
You know, and attack him or you know, fight him with the word of God. You know, and it says here on 1 Peter 2:11, "Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." So abstain from sinful desires. Yeah. And on Numbers 32:23, it says here, "But if you fail to do this, you will be sinning against the Lord. You may be sure that your sin will find you out." Amen. That's the hard part sometimes when we could put things in secret, sin anything, but we cannot hide anything from the Lord. He knows. Amen.
Right.
And the embarrassing moment is when God will show it, you know, openly. So that's the shameful, you know, the thing that could happen to us. And lastly, I put here, God provided a way of salvation to mankind. He restores man to our Lord Jesus Christ, to the atoning death and blood of Jesus Christ, and sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. Those who turn to Jesus will be what? Set free. Amen. Isn't God wonderful? Man, just like Pastor, you know, I always giggle and laugh when he does this. You know, God can do this to us, like, you know, make us like cockroach and just. But he didn't. He didn't.
Amen.
You know, everything may go worse or, you know, along the way, but be faithful, amen, and offer up ourselves. This is, you know, I've been a Christian for a while, and I've read this verse so many times, but, you know, sometimes when you stop and just ponder about the things of God, about His Word, it convicts my heart, you know, and make me realize, and make me realize to say, I'm sorry, Lord, you know, I've done this, you know, and sorry for neglecting you, sorry for putting you aside, you know. So we need to offer up ourselves, this body as living. You know, by the way, God has revealed to me, even from the beginning of the creation, that's what God's plan to Adam and Eve, to Adam especially, that God, Adam needs to offer up himself, but he sinned before God, right? And listened to the enemy, and they failed. But praise God, he has another plan, you know, of redemption through his son, Jesus Christ. He offered up himself this on the cross for our sins. So if he offered himself as a sacrifice, why can't we offer ourselves as living? It says there, living, not dead sacrifice, okay? Not dead, living. It means active, it's not passive. We need to press on. When we have done this, we'll realize and obey God. Realize that nothing's too hard, amen?
That's right.
When your relationship with God is strong and mighty, and you know that God is on your side, there's nothing too difficult, amen? That's why I urge everybody, you know, to press in and just be a living sacrifice, so that when Sunday comes, it's kind of hard sometimes. Although it happens, sometimes we battle during the week, and it's hard to worship, and it's hard to communicate, and you know. But from the beginning, from Monday, you know, just at home, wherever you are, Lord, here I am, use me. You know, I want to acknowledge you today. I want to be used of, so that come Sunday, man, it's not hard. It's not even hard to lift up your hands. Sometimes it's hard to lift up hands when you have struggles and problems in life. But the Lord understands. He understands, and just no matter what, offer up yourself. Job says, even though he will slay me, I will still trust him. Amen. That's how powerful Job's faith is unto the Lord. So same with us. We need to continually offer up ourselves as living sacrifice, especially in these last days. It's very important. It's very important, man. It's terrible out there. You know, we're living in the last days, and most of all is we need to be prepared for His coming. He's coming very soon.
Yes,
He is. Coming very soon. Amen. So let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful study, Lord God, this evening.
Yes, God.
Lord, first and foremost, I pray for the listeners on the internet. I pray that you would touch their hearts too. I pray, Lord God, that those that really don't know you in a full way, Lord God, and those who have questions in their hearts, Lord, I pray, oh God, that Lord, that they will accept you as their Lord and Savior, and then realize and have that personal relationship with you. If you can follow me in this prayer, dear Lord Jesus,
yes,
I bow before you this evening. I pray, Lord, that you would forgive me of my sins.
Yes, God.
Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying on that cross for my sins.
Thank you, God.
Lord, change my life. And that from now on, I pray, Lord, that I will live for you. And as the message says, Lord, that I will offer up this body, oh God, as living sacrifice to you, oh God. I know it's not easy, but gradually, Lord, I offer it unto you, oh God.
Thank you, God.
As my act of service and act of worship for you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord God, for renewing my life. And I give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, I pray for your people.
Yes.
Father, I pray that you would bless them. Lord, thank you for reminding us once again tonight, Lord God, that we need. Lord, I pray that, you know, when trouble comes, when storms in life comes,
yes,
that we will remember this verse, oh God, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, oh God, that we need to present ourselves as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, oh God. That even through our solitary or when we're alone, that God, this I pray, oh God, that it will be our act of worship, that we will acknowledge you and just bow down before you and say, Lord, here am I.
Yes.
Lord God, I offer myself to you, oh God, as living sacrifice. Accept me, Lord, and God, that you would use me, oh God, for your glory. Lord, thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word this evening. And again, that I pray that you would bless your people. We give you all the glory and honor and praise, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.